John, what time is it?
Time to start the show.
Oh, really? Is that the best? You've had a month to think up a better response than that.
That's it. That's all I've been thinking about.
That's all you've been thinking about?
Yeah.
John has actually he's got his wife pregnant. Yeah. How many days overdue is she, John?
She's 4 days overdue.
So. 4 days overdue. And he's here doing the podcast.
It's dedication.
It's dedication. Okay. Well, John, start the show then.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the only podcast that hasn't broken the super injunction by Ryan Giggs. Damn it! It's the Preston Frogcast! Hello, 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 all you thousands of people. We've snuck into the Preston Frog and Bucket again. Good God, we've got people sat on each other's laps. Stop doing that. The fire exits are blocked. I can't believe we've got literally half the population of Preston here, which means there's a bus stop that's particularly lonely tonight. So I'd just like to say, welcome to the Frogcast, live! Yay! From Preston. Every time Preston gets such a bad thing. As a matter of fact, there was an article in the Preston, what was it? The Lancashire Evening Post. They had a competition here at the Preston Frog and Bucket to find the best comedian in all of Preston, and only one person from Preston made it through to the final, and then they pulled out, which was a bit of a shame.
That's people from Preston do.
What, pull out?
Oh yeah.
Well, that was the sound of my beautiful assistant John the Sound Man. God, John, we're going to have to keep these ladies away from you. They just look like they want to tear your clothes off.
There's at least 500 around my desk right now.
How many are there under your desk?
It's only a small desk, only one.
One particularly lucky lady. So, yes, hello to John the Sound Man. Oh, they love you, John. They love you. And I'd also like to say hello to all of you who've come down here to the Preston Frog and Bucket tonight. Friends of the show, hello. And, of course, a big hello to all our froggy freeloaders out there somewhere on the internet downloading this for free off iTunes. A big hello. And usually we do a special hello, and I'd like to do an extra special hello to John's unborn baby. Hello. Hello, John's unborn baby. Why don't you want to come out of your mother's womb into Preston? It's lovely.
What, Preston? I'd rather stay in a womb, if I was honest.
You've spent enough time in there. Give the baby a chance. And today, unfortunately, we are going to say a very sad goodbye. To Osama bin Laden. I know I'm probably stirring the comedy porridge here a little bit with Osama bin Laden jokes this late on in the month. They've probably been ruined. But I was quite confused by the whole Osama bin Laden assassination thing. I say assassination. Legal killing, I believe, is the technical term they've gone through. Not because, you know, it was a killing of a foreign national on foreign soil by an American SEAL team. But because they described it as a kill or capture mission. Kill or capture. It just confuses me. It's a very American way of doing things. We will kill and then maybe capture. I'm not quite sure. Should it be the other way around? How does a kill or capture mission work? Do the Navy SEALs burst into the room and go... Missed him. Suppose we better capture him then, don't we? You know, it's so weird. But it did give President Barack Obama the chance to say the one thing I haven't heard a president say in a decade and believe them, which was, We had enough intelligence to take action. Finally! Finally! I said, laugh loudly if you don't find something funny. Honestly, the froggy freeloaders online are pissing themselves right now at that deep, biting political satire.
I liked your mime during that, Richard.
Did you tell
you're a trained actor.
You can. Years and years of drama school training, ladies and gentlemen, to be in a Viking Direct TV commercial.
And Subway.
And Subway, yes.
I loved your footlong in that.
He was not the only one. My picture ended up on a gay chat website from the Subway advert. A picture of me, shirtless, wearing a pair of Bermuda shorts with a large 6-inch meaty thing in my hand.
Wasn't there a sandwich in the picture too?
Boom!
Oh!
He's not just beautiful, ladies. He's not just beautiful. He's funny as well. Funny and beautiful.
And fertile.
And yeah, and clearly his semen works, though we have yet to see what mental defects the child has. What? First ever Frogcast boo. We have an absolutely fabulous lineup of comedians on for you tonight. We have the amazing Tom Goodliffe. Give me a cheer. We've got Tez Ilias. And we've got Ruth Coburn. And then, of course, our fabulous headliner tonight is Mr. Queeve McDonald. Why are you giggling at that? You're just giggling. Is it the name Queeve? Childish. You better not do that when he's on stage. No, you thought I was Queeve McDonald. No, I am your host, Richard Bassara. I probably should have pointed that out a lot earlier on in this night.
There's no way he could headline anyway.
That's true. Are you and me going to fall out, John?
You said my kid's got mental disabilities.
We are going to have a falling out. Me and John are going to be fighting in the car park
afterwards. Forget the power I've got, Masaru.
He has control over everything I say. Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for your first act of the evening? I don't think I can hear you. Are you ready for your first act of the evening? Okay, if all the thousands of people in this room right now could start putting their hands together, start cheering, start whooping, start sharing, and welcome to the stage, Tom Goodliffe!
Yeah, wow. Hello. Yeah, good. Welcome. It's me. Relax, the room hasn't got smaller, I'm just massive. I'm very tall. I'm 6'6", which is fun. Cock. I live on my own, so I really like you. I was a bit worried about the number of the empty chairs in here, but sorry, there's loads of people here. Sorry, loads of people here. Tomorrow's gig is going to be cancelled because they'll be putting the roof back on. I'm enjoying this far too much. Good. No, I don't know what happened. I read those books, and they didn't really work, right? I got well on into my life. I thought, I'll try speed dating. Has anyone tried speed dating before? No. Okay, again, just me. So lonely. I tried speed dating. It wasn't very good. I tried speed dating. Special one for tall people. Lanky dating, yeah? Like they were trying to make us procreate and create some sort of super army of tall, lonely people. Yes, I'm going to take out my revenge on the short people. No, I don't know why they did it. But I did that. And what speed dating is, it's basically 20 single guys, 20 single girls. They all chat to each other and basically try not to bore each other. And yeah, and you get given a little form which says yes, no, or maybe. And a little area to write the person's name and notes. I remember writing Claire, maybe, boobs. Well done, me. That's how desperate I was. But it is basically a waste of time, yeah? You cannot work out whether you like someone in 3 minutes. You can occasionally do that. If you're shallow, you can go, I like the look of them, but you get to know more about them later and not very good. Basically, 3 minutes is all the time you need to moan about your job. That's what they do. Everyone moans about their job for 3 minutes. One girl, basically decided I was wasting my time here, I was going to have some fun. I used to work for a bank. I explained to her and genuinely convinced her that I worked in a cash machine, counting out the money and popping it through the hole. So that was fun. And I thought the joke was back on me because one woman told me she was a dog aquatherapist. Yeah? She showed me her card. It was genuinely true. I then convinced her I was a hedgehog acupuncturist. yeah. So, and there was one girl who just moaned about her job for 3 minutes. Just like, oh, I just hate my job. It's just data entry. I just put numbers in boxes all day. Just numbers in boxes all day. It's 5 days a week, 8 hours a day putting numbers in boxes. I commute 2 hours a day to put numbers in boxes. That's a long commute. How do you pass the time? Sudoku. You're a moron. Good people of Preston, enjoy the rest of the show. My name's Tom Goodliffe. Cheers, bye.
One more time for Tom Goodliffe! Tom, do you want to grab a stool, come back onto the stage? Give him a round of applause while he comes back onto the stage. Do you know where your microphone is? Yes, that is yours. It's all yours. Just for you. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Richard.
And I know all the thousands of people want to say hello as well.
Hello!
I know. What are you talking about, empty chairs? There are no empty chairs in this room.
There's two, but I was sitting on both of them.
That was in your rider. You demanded one chair for each cheek. Is that a usual demand at a gig?
It's usually three chairs, but for you, just two.
Oh, you see, we're special. Down in London, they're fancy. Three chairs.
So isn't.
yes. Tell us a bit about you were an accountant, or did you just train to be an accountant and then decide, fuck it, no, I want to make people laugh? Or were you actually an accountant for a while?
I am a qualified accountant. I am a semi qualified associate chartered management accountant.
what the hell is that?
I don't know, but I do need a little bit more income. So if anyone needs one, I trained as that. I came out of university, and it was pretty much the only job where I had kind of I didn't do very well at university. I'd messed around and played football manager for a lot of time, and they went, "Oh, your A levels are good, but your degree's rubbish." I was like, "Just hide that." And they went, "Do you want to be an accountant?" I was like, I've got no other options. So, yes, I did that. And then I was working for a bank. And then I did lots of different spreadsheets. Some accounting, some not. Some risk, yeah? Some strategy, Some banking, yeah? And then I went, well, this is too much sex, drugs and rock and roll for me. let's do comedy. So, yeah, a bit more of a relaxed lifestyle.
And in 2009, I believe it was, you won the Beat the Frog World Series, was it?
I don't remember.
You don't remember? You've won so many awards.
I haven't. I really haven't. I'm probably the most disappointing winner of all time. No, I did. It was great, actually. It was quite good because it was a little bit of a boost of confidence I needed. I've been going for a year or two, and it was just lovely to play a room of the size of the Preston Frog and the Manchester Frog. And it's a great kind of circuit up here. I hadn't done much before, Northwest before that.
Because you're a self-confessed comedy geek, aren't you?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, every time we meet up or have a gig together, all you ever do, you can just I just let him go. I just say, so, Tom, how you doing? And he's off on comedy.
That's right. Yeah, I've got a spreadsheet of all the comedians, how many laughs per minute they get, and their best heckle comebacks. And, yeah, anything in a spreadsheet, really.
What is the best heckle comeback you've ever heard?
I don't know. Probably one of John's, to be honest. One of John's bit of cross banter with you.
With me earlier on.
Thanks, mate. Thanks.
That's all right. You got the money, right?
Means a lot coming from you. 2009 winner.
We met about 5 minutes ago. we're already best buds, eh?
I'm more friends with you than Richard, that counts for something.
Your baby needs a godfather, right?
It needs an accountant.
That's the sort of cross banter I'm talking about, ladies and gents. That's quick. Go on.
Well, I was also going to say that you have your own podcast. You're a fellow podcaster.
I do.
Would you like to tell us a bit about it? Maybe promote it, plug it, tell us the website.
Sure, why not? We have about a tenth of the listeners that you do. So,
really?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't do that bit of the admin.
Oh, you...
I do the funny bit. Brody does the admin.
Brody does the admin. Who's Brody, for a start?
Brody is Mr. Broderick Chow, who's a very funny Canadian comic, and he and I do a movie review podcast with a guest comedian every 2 weeks. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's an excuse for us to go to the cinema when we're not gigging.
Best movie you've seen this year?
This year? Yeah. Difficult.
Really?
Quite enjoyed Thor, and yet it's not usually my type of movie. The use of 3D was completely rubbish, but I don't know.
Most use of 3D is.
Yeah, although I liked Tron.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Tron, or Tron Lebowski, as it should be called, because it was just Jeff Bridges in a kind of a dressing gown for most of it. But no, my favourite movies are things like 12 Angry Men.
Great movie. Got Jack Klugman in. Quincy. TV's Quincy. No, you are far too young to remember Quincy.
So yeah, so every other movie, find that on iTunes or Google it. Everyothermovie.wordpress.com, I think. Other blogging tools are available.
Indeed. And you go like Twitter, for example, and you're on Twitter, aren't you?
I am, yes.
What's your handle?
At Tom Goodliffe, which is Tom Goodliffe is spelled G-O-O-D-L-I-F-F-E.
Double F?
Yeah, that's right. Not like on the posters, Richard.
So you have someone good to do your admin on your podcast.
Yeah. Well, you've been busy making people pregnant, so
what's
you're
your
no
excuse?
Help.
And this whole audience is in danger tonight. No. stay in your booth, John. Stay in your booth. It's good podcast. Excellent.
It's a good podcast. And you're always tweeting.
I tweet a lot. I try and latch onto the latest hashtag of some sort. Actually, I saw comedian, famous, brilliant comedian Tom Wrigglesworth in Euston today. And through the magic of Twitter, I was able to communicate with him because I was in Euston at the same time getting the train here. And just as I got on my train, I heard the Tannoy announcement go, "Will Mr. T. Wrigglesworth please return to the Virgin ticket desk?" And I saw the rather noticeable Tom Wrigglesworth walk across the station, and I just tweeted at him, "What happened in the station?" He's like, "I forgot all my tickets." Well done, Tom. He's excellent. Find him. He's one of my favourites.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I think it's that time of the evening where we do the first audience questions of the night. John, play it!
Audience, question time. Audience, question time.
Is that not the best sting you've ever heard in your life? It's not at all awkward, is it?
No.
So, ladies and gentlemen, which question would you like me to ask him? One, two, or three? Shout out the loudest. I'll ask that one. What? One? We got one.
Two. Three.
It's between one or two now. Five. Five. I'm going to ask you question five. I think we'll go with two. Oh, she's very excited by that. Okay, so, Tom, your first audience question of the night is from Mark Baines. Where's Mark Baines? Yes, on an audio podcast, raising your hand. I can't see through all the thousands of people. Just give us a shout. Mark Baines? Hello, there we go. Would you rather be a lesbian wrestler or a shaved poodle?
I'd like to be a lesbian wrestler called the Shaved Poodle.
Oh, I think that answers that perfectly. Thank you very much, Tom. Ladies and gentlemen, one more round of applause for the marvellous Tom Goodliffe! You're going to be up in Edinburgh, aren't you? You're going to be up in Edinburgh.
I've got one more thing to... Yes, I'm up in Edinburgh. My show's called Tom Goodliffe, The Goodliffe, which isn't as arrogant as it sounds.
No, it really is.
Am I going now?
Yeah, you're going.
Go
on stage. Just to let everyone know that you can, of course, get in contact with the show in many different ways. You can find us on Twitter at Preston Frogcast. You can find us on Facebook at The Preston Frogcast. And you can also email us at PrestonFrogcast@gmail.com. And up until a few weeks ago, I had had not a single email, not a single thing. I would sit at my computer all day long And just look, keep on refreshing the inbox. Nothing. Maybe wander off to a bit of Red Tube. Come back 30 seconds later and refresh the inbox. And still nothing. Then all of a sudden, 3 weeks ago, bing! New message. And it was actually from a listener. It was from a guy called, like, the most stereotypical name in the world. His name was Hans. And he was from Austria. And it just said, Dear Richard, love the podcast. Good start. You're a bit shit, though. But I really liked that Graham Goring. Any chance of getting him back on the show? And so, just specifically for you, Hans, out there in Austria, wherever you are, because we had a few more emails, I like Graham Goring, and I know you will as well. So please, will you put your hands together and welcome to the stage, Graham Goring! Hello, Graham!
Hello.
You have some correspondence!
Off, is it on that? There we go. It's on fucking on now. Yeah, no, fresh off the printer, so brand new. So shall I start?
Please do. This is Correspondence Corner.
Okay. Dear Preston Frogcast, do you want a bigger No, hang on. Shouldn't have done. Want a bigger penis? Bigger penis? Bigger penis? Bigger penis? Two penises. okay, right. Dear Richard, just wanted to drop you a note to say how great you are on these podcasts. And that I also like all the adverts you do on the internet and telly, in particular the ones for Subway and Yorkshire Tourism, when we get to see your hot, hot body. lots of love, Mum. P.S. Do you want a bigger penis?
it's a bit too late for that now, Mum.
Dear Preston Frogcast, you should have that Graham Goring on more. Also, you should pay him. doesn't say who that's from. Just wanted to send you a quick missive to let you know how much I enjoy your podcast. Having listened now to both of them, my time was littered liberally with laugh out loud moments, and that's a rarity. And that is regards Lee from Australia.
Ooh.
I should also point out that was actually an email sent to me for a podcast I used to do called The Askcast. It's www.askcast.com. It's about video games. It's very good. You could take some lessons from it.
Oh, thank you.
Graham, were there any emails about me?
Yes. Let me just get the other email that I forgot. Isn't John lovely there? That's the one about you.
Thanks, Graham.
It's all right.
Ladies and gentlemen, Graham Goring with Correspondence Corner. And if you want to hear your email and possible insults towards me read out by Graham next month, please email us at prestonfrogcast@gmail.com. So, let's get on with the rest of the show. Are you all excited? Oh, indeed. We've got some great acts for you. As I explained before, these guys are what is known as the trade as open spots or free labour by promoters up and down the country. But these guys, I've seen them, I've gigged with them many times, and they're some of the best around, and one day these are names to keep a lookout for. So I want you to all to start clapping your hands. Yes, now. I want you all to start whooping and cheering. And please, welcome to the stage your first act, Tez Ilias!
Evening, Preston. How are you guys doing? This is a bit of a special gig for me, this, because I live in London now, but I'm originally from Lancashire. So this is like a bit of a homecoming gig. Because, like, if any of you guys have got little brothers or sisters, little nieces or nephews, little sons or daughters, for those of you promiscuous like that, then because let's face it, right, kids in today's society, they're getting out of control, aren't they? Right? Innit, bro? Yeah? The little kids are getting out of control. So next time, like, one of these little geezers gives you a little jibber-jabber, right? Load them in with a fist bump and then trap them. Trap them with the paper beats rock thing, and then you've got to top you off with bitch, sir, haven't you? That's the most important bit. Because kids need to know when they've been owned. And if, like me, you're feeling a bit adventurous as well, give them a little kick afterwards as well. I'm only kidding, sir. You look a bit concerned. I don't actually abuse kids. I'm not Catholic. No, it's fine. Let me explain, see. No, it's fine. I'm Muslim, see. I'm Muslim. I'd bomb them. I just wouldn't bum them. Those two vowels there, those two vowels being the... What was lovely was when I told the missus, I went, yo, wifey, I've started doing stand-up comedy. You know what she said to me? She said, you know what, Tez? Whatever you decide to do in your life, I will back you 1,000%. Go out there, chase your dreams, and reach for the stars. How sweet is that? Yeah. Which is just as well, really, because my other three wives. But oh, you guys have been absolutely, absolutely gorgeous. But I'm gonna leave you with this one thing. I love joked about it and stuff, but I am Muslim, and growing up as a Muslim was quite difficult in growing up in the 90s and the noughties like I did. And but I've been thinking lately, it'd be absolutely amazing, it'd be wonderful, right? Like I'm thinking, like there's all these problems in the Muslim countries across the world, and thought what could help solve that problem? And I thought, lately, it'd be absolutely amazing, right, if there's a Muslim superhero. Right? I think, no, hear me out, seriously, I think this would be absolutely amazing. If you're going to laugh over it, it's going to ruin it. Come on, daddy's talking, shh. Right? I thought it'd be absolutely amazing if there was a Muslim superhero, because I could just imagine myself walking down the street just minding my own business, and suddenly one of my mates stops me. He's like, Tez, oh my God, look up there, what is that? Is it a bird? Is it a plane? Oh no, wait, it is a plane. Fuck. I've been Tez. Good night.
Please keep the love in the room going, keep the applause going, get it louder, and welcome to the stage, the fabulous, the beautiful, the gorgeous, Ruth Coburn!
Hiya! You alright? Yeah, just two of you, brilliant, good. Hello! It's good to be here. It's lovely to be here. I started doing comedy a little while ago, and because they said comedy is the new rock and roll. Do you reckon comedy's like rock and roll? Do you think it's the new rock and roll?
Yeah.
It's fucking not. Look at the thousands of people here. it's fucking not rock and roll. It's fucking not. Because I thought I'd get groupies when I started doing something quite rock and roll. I haven't. All right. Because I've been a music groupie for years. Okay, I've ingested that much spunk, I've learnt the guitar through osmosis. It's depressing. Because I thought I would get groupies. I live with two male comics, and after gigs, they get loads of women coming up to them going, think you'd have fun, eh? Can I buy you a drink? The best chat-up line I've got after a gig is a guy coming up to me going, usually women are shite. Well, at least with you, we've got something to look at. Delightful, yeah. Probably at that point, what I probably should have said was, yeah, fuck off. What I actually said was, he thinks I'm pretty. Because I'm very shallow. I figure, though, to be in a band now, you've either got to be, like, around about 20, about 21 tops, and sort of be on T4, or you've got to be able to do that dance move. And be stood next to a rapper. Now, I'm fully aware that most of me falls out when I do that. You're in danger of getting a labia on your lap. So I'm not going to do that. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to start a band. I'm going to get two people to do that for me. Not now, because that would be weird. And it's a podcast, so it would look stupid. So, yeah, I'm gonna call ourselves the Pussycat Trolls. That's my favourite joke. I'm so easily amused. So, yeah, and this is going to be my song. Do you want to hear my song? Yeah. So, yeah, imagine we're all on T4 and imagine I'm fucking amazing. And if you want to join in, don't. Because you don't know the words. Here goes.
Love is a many splendid thing. Oh, and if you give me your number, I'll give you a ring. But there's just one thing holding us back. And she sat right next to you, mate. And mate, mate, she's well fat. Cause your girlfriend's a minger, yeah, 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 yeah. I reckon you should been a yeah, 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 yeah. Your girlfriend's a minger. I'm thinner, I'm thinner, I'm thinner, I'm thinner. She's M to the I, to the N, to the G, to the E, to the R. Mate, 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 she's a minger. She's well minging, well rough. Mate, that shit is scandalous. Yeah, 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 yeah. Your girlfriend's a minger. I don't mean to be harsh, but when she goes near dogs, they start to bark. When I look at her, I think of Beauty and the Beast, but she's no beauty. She's more like beauty's yeast infection. How can you sustain an erection when you look at her? Mate, 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 she's got facial fur. Cause your girlfriend's a minger. Yeah, 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 yeah. I reckon you should bin her. Yeah, 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 yeah. Your girlfriend's a minger. I'm thinner, I'm thinner, I'm thinner, I'm thinner. Bet you wish your girlfriend was hot like me. Bet you wish your girlfriend was a freak like me. Bet you wish your girlfriend was sexy, but she's not, is she? Nah, mate. She's a minger, she's a minger, she's a minger. She looks like she should be on Jerry Springer. Cause her uncle's a brother and her sister's her mum. We call it incest, they just call it family fun. Yeah, 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 yeah. Break it down now. Mingy, mingy, ming, ming, mingy, ming, ming, mingy, mingy, ming, 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 ming. She's a minger, your girlfriend's a minger, yeah, 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 yeah. I reckon you should bin her. I'm quite clearly not thinner. Got it. Thank you very much. I've been Ruth Coburn. I shall leave you.
Ruth Coburn! All right, keep that applause going. Go, Ruth, grab a stool, come back. Tez, come back to the stage. Hey, Tez.
Hey, Richard.
Oh, look at that. You've managed to sneak a second microphone there.
He's talented.
Okay, I suppose I should ask you guys some questions. Tez.
Yes.
You just recently ran the London Marathon.
True story.
I know.
It was awesome.
What now? Were you running for a charity?
I was running for St. John's Ambulance.
Oh, and it's for a good reason as well. Oh, no.
How many people hate Tez right now? Not only is he healthy... He's charitable as well. Do you wear the London 2012 Olympic badge for any reason?
Yeah, because that's where I work.
Oh, you work at London 2012?
Yeah, I'm running the 100 metres next year.
So oh, really?
Just in training for that.
I nearly believed you then. I'm really gullible.
If you're really gullible, I've got a huge cock.
He has.
I'm not that gullible.
But, Richard, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, sure.
Are you a personal trainer during the day?
No.
Because there's a girl there called Nitin, I think, who
she
swears
just wants training.
Who swears that you're a personal trainer.
No.
He just likes to wear lycra and hang around in gyms. That's it.
Thanks, John. Give away all my secrets.
Always got your back, mate.
I find it comfortable and supporting.
Yep.
In all the right places.
Do you have a girlfriend, Richard?
Maybe.
Because
again, same girl.
Yeah, you could get.
We can just see darkness though. Nice teeth, I can see.
It's because she's brown.
Oh no! Oh good God!
Oh.
I
was going to ask her questions as well.
You're far too Indian for this club, love. You can be this Indian, but not that fucking Indian.
I meant it in a nice way.
I was going to ask you if you wanted an upgrade.
An upgrade from my current girlfriend?
Yeah. Because I don't know if you've heard, Richard, but once you go Asian, you'll never go Caucasian.
Oh.
That's what's happening over there.
I
You're terrible.
That. feel like I'm being pimped off. Usually it's John the one who's got all the ladies around him because he's so beautiful, isn't he? Woo! So there's less ladies. John must have satisfied most of them by now. They're all tired. Ruth, shall I ask you a question or will you put your foot firmly into your mouth?
Please ask me a question.
Okay.
Can you edit that out?
No. I have a theory.
I'm a nice person. I'm really nice.
How is Uncle Nick Griffin?
When does your membership of the EDL come through?
EDL.
Richard,
what?
I've just been passed a question for Ruth, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Ruth, you what? Once did a joke about swallowing spunk. What does your mother, who is here tonight, think of that?
She taught me everything I know.
Oh! Really? Really? She's the one over there surrounded by five guys.
And they're all skinheads as well. It's going to make me look even worse.
I was only going to ask you a question about your last name. Because I have a theory that quite a few comedians get into comedy, like myself, because obviously a few of us are quite insecure from times at school when we were picked on and bullied. I, for example, they changed my name from Richard Massara to Dick Massager, which was quite clever. But Ruth, your last name, Coburn, isn't spelt Coburn, is it?
No.
How's it spelt?
Cockburn.
Cockburn. Yeah. And I can't imagine any kids would ever find any way of making that funny.
Because my first name's Ruth, mm-hmm. They chant at me, the roof is on fire. She don't need no water because you've got the cocks will burn. And it doesn't really make any sense. But that's what they
chant. The microphone ran away from you very quickly then. Is she contagious?
It keeps falling down to my chest.
Then maybe you should take it out of the holder and hold it in your hand.
Well, like...
Yeah, like... John, quick, audience questions!
Audience, question time. Audience.
I love you.
Questions. I love you too.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, which do we want? One or three?
One!
What, we got one?
Three?
Three? Going for three? I hear three. Okay. Question number three of the audience questions is... Although it depends on your audience, and this is from Andy A. Although it depends on your audience, how do you normally feel when you come off stage? Ruth, how do you normally feel when you come off stage?
Normally I feel quite nice. I'm just going to get racist all the way up.
Yeah.
Racist, dirty racist.
It's all right.
I'll never work in Preston again.
No, it's all right.
Or in the wrong clubs.
No, you will. They love you. Blackburn.
There's a reason he moved to London.
You get lots of work in the North West.
And Tez? How do you normally feel when you come off stage?
Like Charlie Sheen.
Really? Winning. Tiger's blood.
Winning. But today I feel quite victimised.
Really?
I love you. Marry me.
As well.
Oh,
you...
Wife number five.
Yay! Oh, well, guys, thank you very much for coming up here, being a little part of our podcast. Ruth, I think you should go on some sort of course. And Tez, just keep on being yourself. You're a wonderful man. Cheers. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, Tez and Ruth, give it up!
Can I give myself a little plug?
Yes, please. If you've got anything to plug...
I am in the top 20 of the BBC National Radio 2 comedy competition.
Ooh.
But I need your public vote to get into the semi-finals, which is the top 12. So if you go on BBC Radio 2 website, Google is your friend, then vote for me, please. And you can get a local Lancashire lad into the final of the national competition for BBC.
Yeah.
That'd be wicked, right?
Yeah!
And all those motherfuckers listening at home as well.
Yeah, all you froggy freeloaders, get on there and start voting for Tez.
Thank you, mate, Richard.
And Ruth, do you have anything to plug? Are you going to be in the BMP's Busty Blonde competition 2011?
Listen, and don't hate me.
Is that all you've got to... just plugging that you're a nice person.
Yeah.
She is. She's lovely. Ladies and gentlemen, one more time, Tez and Ruth. Thank you guys so much for coming down. We're now going to bring on your headline act, who's a fabulous comedian. But before that, I suppose, I was in Chester the other week, and I couldn't believe it because I just saw so many ladies who looked like they'd been basting themselves all winter in fake tan. Potassium ladies, I call them. It's because they burn orange all year round. It's my only chemistry-based joke. Clearly not a chemistry joke crowd. That's right, I bought John a sound box.
And I haven't overused it this month.
You haven't overused it. Well, I think that's the cue for me to bring on our headline act, ladies and gentlemen. Are you ready for your headline act? Okay, well, I need you to put your hands together and give lots of love. Get the applause going. Come on, ladies and gentlemen. Start whooping and cheering, start hollering. And please welcome to the stage, Queen McDonald!
Evening, how are you? You well? Very nice to be here at Richard and John's little hissy fight. But it is very nice to be here. As I said, I am... Any Irish people in? No, this is Preston. Burnt them all out in the 60s. Good. probably was Ruth, let's be honest about it. First she came for the Irish. To be fair, I have actually done the same thing as that, that I didn't see you there. Oh, to be fair, my girlfriend is black. I've actually done it while in my own bed. That's a weird moment where you wake up, there's no lights on, you just sort of go, ah! Teeth! Sorry, didn't realise you come in from the pub. I can't be racist, I love you. That's how this works. I think it's really about Leeds, actually. I was the first. I've only ever got one taxi in Leeds, right? It's absolutely true. We got a taxi in Leeds. Got Danny, the hilariously racist taxi driver. He may be related to you, Ruth. I don't know. He was brilliant. Yeah, that's going to go for a while. check your Facebook later on. There will be pictures of you Facebook with Hitler. but I was out of this taxi, right? The guy was brilliant. Massive racism, haven't they? It's a ridiculous fucking thing. I had time with, you know, if I had kids, I would actually tape the EDL on TV every time they're on and go, "Now, remember I told you about staying in school? See what happens when you don't?" fucking ridiculous. Oh, but I do like it over here, you know. I said I've been living here about 10 years, because I'm now 35 years of age, right? And... Thank you for that derisive laughter, madam. I'll be honest, everyone else was thinking it. They just had more manners than you did. You're right, though. Nobody ever believes. I'm aware I don't look a day over 24. I can see why you're laughing. No. And nobody ever believes I'm 35. I actually figured this thing out. It was something called the Kubler-Ross model of grief. Anyone knows any medical things might notice. It's the five stages they reckon you go through when you get really bad news, which are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance, right? I figured out some people go through all five of those stages when they find out my age. Two, denial. There's no fucking way you're 35. Anger. How the fuck could you let this happen to yourself? Bargaining. Could you not dye your hair or something, for Christ's sake? Depression. You're fucked. Acceptance. Ah, well, at least it's not me. Slightly longer nose, obviously. Yeah, it's a mental image to take home and enjoy. yeah, you're going to work tomorrow be great. What was the comedy like? Well, it was alright, but then it got racist and then a man described his cock looking like Philip Schofield. I'm not going again. yes! Oh, Jesus Christ. It's not that difficult a fucking concept, alright? Fucking hell. I am only 35. I'll be honest with you, the gags I have about it aren't that fucking good that I would make it up. I wasn't sitting in bed one morning, you know, it'd be hilarious on my 54th birthday. I'll write fucking material about being 35 just to fuck with people in Preston. No, I am actually 35, look. If it's any consolation for you, I haven't always been 35, though. I don't intend being it forever either, if I'm completely honest with you. But I've lost the nephews and nieces, right? In fact, while there, myself and the girlfriend decided to bring her two nieces on a day out to Chessington Zoo, which is down near London, right? Now, there's three facts you need to know for this story to make sense. As I already told you, my girlfriend is black, as indeed are her nieces, as are her parents. You know, it's kind of like a family tradition they have. Struck me as odd. Little tip, don't bring it up. Ooh, gets weird. Funny enough, never got on with Ruth. Don't know why. That's a bottomless pit of laughs, that is. I'm just fucking... Because you do that every gig. It's fucking brilliant. No, so as I said, the girlfriend and the nieces are black. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is how I ended up on a register. But on the upside, it has saved me a fucking lot in car insurance. That's what we call a callback in the game, folks. Listen, folks, you've been lovely. I've been Queen McDonald. I've been less racist than some of the acts you've seen. I'll stand by that. Cheers. Good night.
Queen McDonald! And keep that applause going as he comes back to the stage. Hello, sir. There's a mic just behind you, if you want to grab it out.
Excellent.
So, 35.
Go fuck yourself.
Listen, I'm nearly 31, so...
So you're pointing out you look younger than your age to me in some attempt to try and make me feel better.
Yes.
You didn't really think that through, did you?
No. I thought we could get a lot of workers before like and the, after pictures.
Yeah, that's the exactly. That's like me going, going, I've got cancer, and you're going to be going, I'm fine!
Well, I was doing so well with John earlier on, it just seemed quite natural.
You have a great future as being a counsellor at some point. I just can't go on. I'll be honest, my life's going pretty fucking well. I've got this gig at the Samaritans. It's quite sweet. We've got biscuits.
How long have you been doing stand-up, then?
About 10 years or so. I basically moved over here. I moved to London initially.
From?
Portugal. Hola. I moved to London from Dublin because that's where I was living at the time. It just seemed the easiest route. It's great. I left Dublin to come and see the world. Moved to London. Turned out the whole fucking world was living there. Saved myself a fortune. I moved there in my job in IT at the time, and then I started sort of doing writing courses and did stand-up at the same time, and sort of went on from there. Because basically, I didn't want to do it in Dublin because I was afraid someone I would know would one day see me do it. So I left the country to try stand-up. That's how much confidence I had in my own abilities. If I would have gone to America, I could afford the flight.
No.
So I moved about 10 years ago, more or less, and then I've gradually moved my way up the country.
Yeah.
And I've now bought a house in I bought an apartment in Manchester, because it's the cheapest place I could find. because it's lovely. I love the north. You're wonderfully friendly people. And very easily pleased.
So what kind of started you to getting into writing and stand-up, and what was the kind of catalyst?
Did I mention I was working in IT?
Yes.
That pretty much explains everything else from that point.
Pretty much sums it up, doesn't it?
I wanted to meet women, and one day they hoped they would let me touch them. So an IT is not the thing to be in for that.
But you were living in England and you had an Irish accent. Surely that was all that was required.
Well, you know, it's difficult to have phone sex in this accent because people think you're ringing up to get a bomb warning in. So you've got 15 minutes to get... No, I didn't mean out. No, oh, fuck, you're gone. Apparently, I don't know. That thing about the Irish accent being sexy, I think, is quite overplayed. At least in my experience. over here it's quite an advantage. I'll be honest, in Ireland, has no fucking effect whatsoever. Very disappointing.
So was there no comedy scene in Dublin before you left?
There was a thriving comedy scene.
Because there still is, because I was over in Dublin last year and it's a lovely place to go.
Yeah, no, it's a lovely place. I don't know what it's like now, because no fuckers got any money left. They all sit at home and cry, as far as I'm aware. I'll be honest, it used to be when I left Ireland, people just spent all their time telling each other how well they were doing. They were like buying each other's houses off each other for millions of pounds. And now you go back and people are actually having competitions to see who's got the shitter life. it's really like the shittiest, most tragic game of top trumps I've ever been in my life. There's a great thriving scene over there. And to be honest, the thing, it was over here as well, where people said there's articles in the paper about why comics don't do gags about recessions. because the honest truth is, no one's ever tell you this because comics don't really like to discuss this on stage. The honest truth is, even in a recession, comedy booms because people still like coming out and having a laugh. So we've been doing all right. Thanks very much.
And as a writer, you've been involved in quite a few projects, haven't you? Because I was examining your CV. And you used to write for 2D TV, did you?
To be honest, I've got more impressive things than that. That's mostly a lie. It's kind of true. I got in at the last series, and they said, do stuff about different celebrities, because people remember 2D TV. Yeah, it was like Spitting Image, only shit.
What would you say is the one project you're most proud of, then?
Oh, that's a different question. Another one that paid the most. kind of proud of that. No, well, I did. I've got a cartoon series I wrote, which it's kind of, well, it's with the BBC, and it's a hard thing to explain, but get a cartoon series made in this country. You basically have to get the BBC to back you, then get about four other different countries around the world to give you money as well, because there's not enough money, because they cost a fucking fortune. Basically, my cartoon series needed more support than the war in Iraq to get made. And will hopefully result in less deaths, but I'm not guaranteeing anything. But it's a kids' cartoon series called Pet Squad. It's about three pets that become superheroes. And funny enough, there's a character named after your flatmate.
Oh, really?
There's a guy, Jonathan. Jonathan is your...
Yes, Mayer. Yes, yeah. Jonathan
Mayer.
There's
a comic called Jonathan Mayer, if you don't know. He's fantastic, but he's also tremendously camp. He's king of the gays, I'll be honest with you.
He quite literally is. I've lived with him 2 months, and I already understand he is king of the gays.
He is. He's literally... You know when they talk about the gay gene? I'm pretty sure it's him.
He's coming on here in July, so I'm sure...
He will. If you're ever not sure about one of your friends, stick him in the front row. If they ever have any doubts, he will turn them gay by the end of the gig. In a good way. But yeah, he's brilliant. But there's a peacock who's a super thief called the Fabulous Jonathan. It is a character called the Fabulous Jonathan. And I'm quite proud of it, because I can't say this. I have to do a couple of interviews about the thing when it's coming out, and I can't say this anywhere else, but I'm quite proud of it simply because it is... the gayest cartoon character in history. I defy anyone to find anyone more gay than that character in my cartoon series. It's so gay, we're not allowed to say the word gay. We have to just say he's, flarery or camp and stuff. We can't use the word gay because it's for kids and we'll get fucking nutter Christians writing in and complain. Because you wouldn't believe the shit people complain about on kids' TV, by the way.
Rastamouse.
I got fired from that.
You got fired from Rastamouse.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you.
Is it because you know Ruth?
Yeah, no.
How did you get fired from Rastamouse?
I'll explain this, and again, I won't ever explain this anywhere else, but the truth of it is, I had a meeting, they had two books they based it on, right? And I read the books. I've never written something that young before, but I thought I'd have a look at it. I went for the meeting, and the books were quite charming. And basically, the thing they have in the books is, there's a baddie, but the baddie finds, the sort of, realises the error of their ways, and by the end of the episode, everybody's friends. Oh, it's lovely, right? Problem I had with it was, they said, we've got like these three baddies, and we're going to use them again and again for 52 episodes. I went, right, thing is with that, though, if they keep making, you know, doing bad things, then realising that by the end of the episode, what their mistake was, then next week, they do another bad thing, and then realise... Essentially, what you're saying is, that's re-offending. That's giving a much worse example than any of the ones you were trying to avoid. You're basically saying these people are career criminals, there's no fucking way of changing them. So I pointed that out in the meeting. That's when it kind of got awkward, I'll be honest with you. Never really recovered from that point. And apparently, though, it's a big hit. I got fired for... I was delighted to be fired, can I point out, as well. It was fucking delightful. I've never high-fived somebody just after being fired. It's quite the moment in your life. But yeah, I used to be on Rastamouse and got booted before I'd ever actually written anything.
All right.
But fuck them, got me on cartoon series. And mine's going on in America. The Americans can't fucking understand Rastamouse. We're doing all right.
And are we allowed to talk about Sarah Millican's pilot?
We can. Sarah Millican's having an affair with a pilot. She's had a super attraction. Seriously, that geeks thing's a fucking red herring. her, a pilot, big cake. The comedian Sarah Millican, who some of you probably know, she's on... But to be honest,
Loose Women.
She's been on fucking everything on television. I'm one of her best mates, I can say this. And I'm at this point, I'm not surprised by the end of this week, return on television, and she's not doing the news. I'll be kind of disappointed. She's been on lots. But yeah, she did a BBC Two pilot last night in Manchester. And I was one of the writers on the thing. So we've been writing that for the last few weeks. And then we had
various guests. We had Colin Jackson, the Olympic silver medalist and world record holder, apparently, which I think is a pissy combination. We couldn't ask him this, but I sort of went, do you ever get pissed off? You set a world record and still couldn't do it at the right fucking time. What's the annoying when some fucker runs by you and you're going, I am still the fucking fastest in the world. I should be getting that medal. he's lovely, by the way. And we had Ollie Smith, who's a wine... Has anyone seen Secret Supper Club?
Ollie Smith, who did with
no,
James
No, I've
May.
Not seen it either. Well done.
He did the travels with James May. Was that Ollie Smith?
I don't know. It was one of those... It's basically, he's a posh bloke talking about food. There's a fair few of them. He's lovely, though. But he's like, you know, he's got a face that looks like a baked bean. But in a nice way. But we did nice that. That was a good laugh. We did a, you know, we had a lot of fun with it. You know. And it's quite good, because the reason... I haven't written on other people's shows like that before. Like, I know a lot of comics who write for, like, John Bishop and all that stuff. But the reason we, the people who ended up writing for Sarah, wrote for Sarah was because everything she says on stage is true. She doesn't make shit up. She's got no imagination. Fucking lazy. but basically, you kind of have to know Sarah to be able to, in some way, write for Sarah. And so we ended up doing that just by going, do you remember that time you told me about that thing and wrote a TV show that way, which is quite unusual. But it's a lot of fun, and we should get a series.
Yeah, let's hope. Fingers crossed.
I was holding it. One of the writers yesterday was quite... This is how important writers are for TV shows, right? This woman was trying to get out from the audience to get through to go to a toilet because they don't let audiences out of TV records. It's pretty much a hostage situation with free wine beforehand. But basically, this Juliet brought one of the girls out. They saw her doing this. Other members of the audience started asking her could they sneak them out as well. She spent 20 minutes ferrying people to and from the toilets so she could get back into the fucking record. And she was the most useful member of the writing team for the entire day. Just by she basically won an underground railroad for people to go for a piss to get out of a TV studio. But yes, so there you go. It was that.
I have to say that whilst I was, you know, you're saying being a writer is not well recognised, whilst researching this interview, every kind of review I found of you always at the end had to put in a little coda on how to pronounce your name.
Yeah.
Because it's spelt
ridiculously.
Ridiculously, exactly.
No, my name is spelt C-A-I-M-H.
And pronounced?
Queeve. I say, to be honest, the question is how it's pronounced. The answer is badly most of the time, I'll be honest with you.
Well, this is the thing. When I the first time I ever met Queeve was in the backstage of the Comedy Store at a new act, new material night on a Sunday, and Mr. Graham Goring was there as well. And I got introduced to him, and I was like, hello, and I'm terrible with names, and it automatically fell out of my head. And then I was like, Graham, what's his name? And he went, Queeve. And I went, Queef. And he went, no, Queeve. And I was like, but that's what I just said to you, Queef. And it was just this massive, like, really embarrassed that I didn't want to come up to you and call you a expulsion of gas from a lady's vagina. It was very...
No, I get that a lot. And weirdly, not even, I mean, I actually get that whole entire well, you get phrase. Women. You are an expulsion of gas from a lady's vagina.
Oh, I just thought that's how women greeted you.
No, I've had 10 different spellings in Time Out in London. Once people realise, oh, those comics are the same bloke, my career's going to fucking rock it. The best mispronunciation ever was a few weeks, because I also work, there's a rugby team called London Irish, and I realise I shouldn't mention this because this is the north of England and you people hate rugby union like I've never fucking believed. Paedophilia is slightly more popular as far as I can see up in this part of the world. But I work for London Irish. I'm the voice of London Irish. I do all the games. We play in the Modesky Stadium in Reading, right? We had an end of season thing at the end of the thing, and I was walking from one end of a stadium to another, one of the members of staff, and this voice behind me all the way just kept going, come, come, come. And only for a steward stopped me and went, I think that bloke's looking for you. And really? I thought I was being chased by a one-legged giant. But yeah, it's a tremendous... I've had someone correct my... To be fair as well, and I never admit this anywhere else, but seeing as this is going on a podcast, no one ever listens to those, I'm fine. But my name should actually... Because it's short... Queeve... anyone who has Irish relatives, Queeve is short for Queeveen, which is the original of Kevin. But Queeve was always my name when I was in band. It's kind of a nickname thing. So I sort of kept hold of it. But weirdly, this is absolutely true. I didn't remember this a few weeks ago. When I first started gigging in London, right, it should actually be spelled C-A-O-I-M-H. And I shit you not, because I remember actually making this decision, I took the O out because I thought it would confuse people. This was one of those things, I have no idea what I was thinking, but apparently that's what I thought. But yeah. But yes, that is my name, the ridiculous thing. I'm the only person in the world called Queeve. I keep trying to convince people. If anyone's pregnant, I keep trying to convince people to name their kids Queeve so it can kind of take off. But
John?
Yeah.
Oh, hey!
Yeah.
John's not pregnant, but he's expecting...
I think it's going to be perfectly healthy.
Yeah, so I...
Well, therefore, I should name it Queef.
Yeah, because Queef... Yeah, exactly. She's going to go for it. So what? Either you name it Queef or I have to impregnate her because she's the only other person I've ever found who thinks it's a good idea. So for the sake of all of us, because I'll do it right now and won't open the doors, and I'll have to watch. For the love of God. For your loving... Oh, yeah, oh, fucking hell.
We don't know the sex yet, though. So
even if it's a
girl,
John, even if it's a girl.
There's only two people in the fucking world with a name, right? If you have a girl and call it Queef, I'll get a fucking sex change, all right?
That's a live recording, and if
fuck
I
me,
have
I'm
a girl...
Just realizing
verbal contract!
I am going to have an awkward conversation with my girlfriend when I get back. Do you remember that time I bet in the rugby with that money for the rent? This is worse.
Well, I think it's time for our last audience question.
Well, just very quickly before I play that, I have had a quick question given to me from Graham, who wants to know if you brought that hard drive of his with you.
Be honest, this sounds like if I say this on a recording that I could end up in court. This sounds incredibly fucking dodgy. Yes, I did bring his Gary Gitter collection. I was horrified. Stop sending me that shit, you pervert. I didn't know you could do that to a sheep. Yes, I did, Graham.
Cheers.
And moving
probably
swiftly
probably could have
on.
Asked me that outside of the gig, I'll be honest. Right, let's have the audience.
Audience, good question time. Audience, good question time.
I had no idea this was this high budget.
I know. and this is from Mel Weaver.
Is that you?
It sounds like she's crying.
Very much. This is the woman who already asked me to impregnate her, so this may be the whole new plan to the entire...
What is the worst thing that you have ever... what is the worst thing that has ever entered your body?
Wow, this is... It was Graham, I'll be honest with you. What's the worst thing that's ever entered my body? I did have to go to the hospital when I was... I did have to go to the hospital because I had a bit of a pencil stuck up my nose that we couldn't get back out.
How old were you?
I was a kid, by the way. I should point out. It hasn't happened that much since. I think that may have been the weirdest, as far as I know, but the night's young. yeah, I think probably I did. I also cut my head open. My brother. Oh yeah, I've got. Oh yeah, glass is probably a fair one. You can't really see that, but yeah, my hand got sliced to fucking smithereens on glass. You know when people put glass on the top of a wall to keep people out? Turns out that's dangerous. Who could have fucking seen that coming? But yes, that's the most dangerous thing so far.
Does that answer your question, Mel?
No.
Oh.
What, have you got suggestions?
Yeah.
Kind of a freak, are you? Wait a second. I recognise you from Graham's hard drive now. How is the dog? No.
Oh, that was you. All right. Yeah, so before you go, is there anything you'd like to plug? Are you on Twitter? Are you, like, follow you on Facebook? If we can spell your name correctly.
Yeah, exactly. It's not so much a plug as a challenge. Try and follow me on Twitter. See if you can still remember how my name is spelt when you get home. Nobody ever fucking can. I'm the best kept secret in comedy. No. I'm not plugging anything. Obviously, Ruth's got a rally coming up. Do go to
we really have to leave that girl alone. She's got to sing a song in a minute.
Nice, look forward to it.
Queef, thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, Queef McDonald! And that's it, we've reached the end of the podcast, so I suppose we better find out who's won the prize for the best audience question. So just to remind you what they were, would you rather be a lesbian wrestler or a shaved poodle? Not much of a response for that one. Although it depends on your audience, how do you normally feel when you come off stage? Andy, you're not winning. And the last one, Mel's lovely question. What's the worst thing that's ever entered your body? Which one do you want to win? We got Mark or Mel?
Mel!
Mel! Mel! Oh! Let's go with Mel, because I really want to see where she puts that in Queef's body. It's a bottle of champagne! Mel, you've won a bottle of champagne. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for coming down to the Frogcast. Just to let everyone know out there, if you want to get in contact with the Frogcast, we have a mobile number that you can text or leave messages on. It's 07927-235-233. That's 07927-235-233. Send your texts, ask us questions, leave messages for us, or just generally abuse me. You can find us on Twitter at Preston Frogcast, our Facebook page, or go to the website www.theprestonfrogcast.com. All that remains for me to say is thank you very much to all our acts. Give them a big round of applause. And keep that applause going. Applaud yourselves, the lovely friends of the show, all several thousand of you who've come down to watch tonight. I'd also like to thank all the staff here at the Frog and Bucket in Preston. John, the gorgeous sound man. Graham Goring for coming up here and reading our correspondence. And to all the froggy freeloaders out there online for downloading us and subscribing on iTunes.
Richard?
Yes?
Could I do a quick thank you as well?
Yeah.
I'd like to thank Freddie, who's been stood by the sound desk all night in case I got a phone call and that didn't disappear.
And to Freddie, the emergency sound man, a big round of applause. I assume there's no phone calls. The baby's still not arrived. I just wanted to wait. Here are some of the questions which didn't make it into the final cut. If a chaplain came from Chorley, would he be called Chorley Chaplain? I can see why I didn't... if you've got a thing for each of these. Super injunctions. Value for money. Question mark, question mark. I don't care about the super injunctions. It really irritates me. All the media's getting very upset about the fact that they're not allowed to talk about people's private lives and it's people's private lives. I really don't give a fuck about what some footballer's done or where he's put his willy, because quite frankly, I fucking hate footballers. Love football, hate footballers. Ashley Cole gets paid 120 grand a week. That equals £11.50 a minute. Every minute of every day, if Ashley Cole decides to take his time over a particularly troublesome dump, he earns about £50. I just think it's fucking disgraceful. They're overpaid and they should all fuck off. And I'm the only one who thinks that. Tez is with me. Sam Betts says, what's a question with no answer? That one. What was that?
I'm running out of sound bites.
Okay, good. Ross asked, why, question mark, the question mark comes at the end of the question, Ross, why is Italy shaped like a boot? I don't even know if there's a punchline to that one. What have we got here? Well, do you think Osama bin Laden is really dead? Ruth? I think you got him, didn't you, Ruth? And I'm sure the pictures are on Graham's hard drive. What did you have for breakfast? From Gillian Cockburn, Ruth's mum. I can't remember. I think it was toast, but I apparently you and Ruth had gallons of spunk. Amy asked, how far can a dog run into a forest? I don't know, Amy. Go. That was off the top of my head! Will eating 13 peeled cucumbers kill you? Only if you don't chew. Thank you. Thank you, John. And the last question from Ella Peckler. Pector? Peckler? Some name I can't even fucking read. BlackBerry or iPhone? Neither, because one makes you a cunt and the other one's a BlackBerry. Wasn't that funny, but we'll edit it out the podcast. I don't care. Ladies and gentlemen, you guys have been absolutely lovely. Thank you very much for coming down. Please, please spread the word. Please tell your friends. And please welcome back to the stage to play us out from this podcast is the beautiful, the racist, the lovely Ruth Coburn!
Oh, no! Hate them all. I went out with a guy. So I'll be quick, don't worry. I went out with a guy,
and I went out for him for a whole week, and he was lovely. He really was lovely. He was a Christian. I met him at a Christian rally, is the wrong word. little sort of Christian gathering. Very nice chappy. We went out for a week, and it was lovely. But he had to go. I had to leave him, because every time we had sex, he would pray for me. Yeah. First time he did it, he knelt down in front of me. I thought, well, hey, no. No, he was praying for my soul, so we had to go. So I wrote him a song to say goodbye. Can you hear the guitar? Is that all right? Yeah? That'll do, won't it? Well, let's see if I can remember it. I met a guy who said he was the son of God. He had long hair and a beard, and he smelled slightly like wet dog. He said, I wanna make you my Mary Magdalene if you've got the time. Oh, there's some room at this inn. Oh, that's right, yes, Jesus loves me. He put his healing hands on me. Oh, yes, he loves me. We went out on the Monday and everything was great. We went out on the Tuesday and back to his flat to consummate. We went out on the Wednesday, but something was bugging me, 'cause by the Thursday morning it burned when I wee. Oh, nothing says I love you like chlamydia. Oh, Jesus, love me. And he gave me chlamydia. And that's all I can remember. I'm terribly sorry. You've been absolutely lovely. And can we give a round of applause for Richard, because he's done a very good job. So thank you very much. Keep supporting this night. It's lovely. And hopefully see you again soon. Ta-ta.
Ladies and gents, please give it up one last time for Ruth Coburn. Special song just for Ruth now.